Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from EO Fire, and you're listening to Elective Rotation with Pharmacy Joe. You must be prepared to ignite.
What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for listening to the Elective Rotation, a critical care pharmacy podcast. This is episode 31. In this episode, I will review an article about monitoring vancomycin by trough levels, answer a drug information question, why do some of my trauma patients get heparin and some enoxaparin for DVT prophylaxis, and share sleep hygiene resources that I personally use. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode31. If you know someone who would find this podcast helpful, please share it with them. The article I'm going to talk about today is titled Vancomycin Trough Concentration as a Predictor of Clinical Outcomes in Patients with Staph aureus bacteremia, a Meta-Analysis of Observational Studies. The author, John P. Prybilski, and the article was published in Pharmacotherapy, October 24th, 2015. Can you believe vancomycin is over 50 years old and we still don't know the best way to dose it? Joint guidelines on dosing vancomycin were published by the Infectious Disease Society of America and ASHP in 2009. In these guidelines, the authors recommended attaining a trough of 15 to 20 milligrams per liter when treating serious infection due to Staph aureus. This trough goal of 15 to 20 in serious infection was actually controversial when it came out in 2009. This goal was proposed as a way to ensure that patients achieve the ideal 24-hour area under the curve to minimum inhibitory concentration ratio of at least 400. However, analyses have demonstrated that patients with adequate renal function can typically achieve the AUC-MIC ratio goal with a more conservative trough concentration. Now, the purpose of this meta-analysis was to determine the strength of evidence for better clinical outcomes in patients with Staph aureus bacteremia who had vancomycin trough levels of 15 to 20. The methods, it was a meta-analysis of 14 observational cohort studies. On to the results. A total of 1,677 patients who had vancomycin trough goals of 15 to 20 for the treatment of Staph aureus bacteremia were included in this meta-analysis. Trough levels of 15 or greater were not associated with significantly reduced treatment failure, persistent bacteremia, or mortality. Higher AUC-MIC values were associated with significantly reduced treatment failure, persistent bacteremia, and mortality. The weighted mean standard deviation AUC-MIC threshold defined by regression analysis in the included studies was 418 hours, which supports the current goal of 400 hours or more. This meta-analysis did not detect a benefit in treating complicated Staph aureus infections with a vancomycin trough goal of 15 or greater. The author concluded that vancomycin trough concentrations do not have sufficient evidence to support their use as the primary guide in vancomycin dosing. The author asserts that dosing should instead focus on AUC-MIC values which have stronger evidence of benefit. He goes on to say, based on the results of this analysis and the absence of randomized controlled trials to support any vancomycin trough concentration goal, clinical pharmacists should be cautious in relying on the trough parameter alone to assess appropriateness of vancomycin dosing, which should primarily optimize the AUC-MIC to a goal of at least 400. The results of this study should not be interpreted as an attempt to determine whether AUC-MIC ratio-based dosing is preferred over trough concentration-based dosing, because the design of the included studies did not accommodate such an analysis. The design of the study, as a result, should only be interpreted as hypothesis-forming, and additional research is needed before a definitive conclusion can be reached. Future research should directly compare both dosing strategies prospectively in a homogeneous patient population using a single objective relevant endpoint, such as persistent bacteremia lasting longer than 7 days. Now, according to clinicaltrials.gov, there is one completed retrospective cohort study done in Taiwan looking at outcomes when dosing vancomycin by AUC-MIC ratio versus trough concentration. Results have not yet been posted for this study, even though the completion date was June 2014. I don't speak Hokkien or Mandarin, but I did email the lead author, Li Jiuan Shen, who also goes by the name Rita, for this trial. She told me that the manuscript is under review, and she is unable to say anything further right now. I'm not sure how I will incorporate AUC-MIC ratio monitoring into my practice with vancomycin. The formula to determine the AUC-MIC ratio is complex and requires a peak and trough to be drawn at steady state. I was able to find an article, which I've linked in the show notes, that proposed a simplified method to estimate the AUC-MIC ratio. The method involves knowing the MIC from the laboratory, estimating creatinine clearance, vancomycin clearance, and using that information to estimate the AUC-MIC ratio. I've created a calculator that replicates the methods from this study and placed it in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode31, as well as with the other calculators on my site, which you can find at pharmacyjoe.com/calculators. For now, I'll be using this estimate to help decide which end of the 15 to 20 trough range to aim for. If anyone listening has incorporated AUC-MIC ratio monitoring into your practice for vancomycin, I'd love to hear what you're doing at joe@pharmacyjoe.com. Now the drug information question. I'm a new nurse in a surgical trauma ICU, and I was wondering, why do some of my patients get sub-Q heparin for DVT prophylaxis, while others get sub-Q enoxaparin? Is there a reason, or is it physician preference? The answer, it's mostly due to physician preference. The CHEST guidelines for major trauma patients give heparin, enoxaparin, or pneumatic compression devices a grade 2C recommendation. Now, for the CHEST guidelines, 2C equals a weak recommendation based on low or very low quality evidence. So this leaves a lot of room for physician preference. Some reasons to choose enoxaparin are once daily dosing and less chance of heparin-induced thrombocytopenia. Some reasons to choose heparin are the ability to give it twice a day instead of three times a day to straddle a high bleeding risk, high clot risk situation. The anesthesiologist won't allow anything but heparin in a patient with an epidural. Heparin doesn't require dose adjustment for renal failure, and heparin is a little bit less expensive. Now, today I'm going to share a collection of four resources that I use in my personal life to help me get a good night's sleep, and it's not a bottle of Ambien. I'm often using technology in the evening, usually to work on the podcast. When I'm done, I want to be able to fall asleep right away. The blue light from the computer screen suppresses melatonin production, which is necessary to fall asleep, and I've linked up a couple studies that show this in the show notes. I take several steps to block the blue light from reaching my eyes. The first is a set of blue light blocking glasses that I picked up on Amazon for just under $13. So I'll wear those glasses pretty much After I tucked the kids in bed, I put them on around 7:30 or so. And every time I'm looking at a computer or cell phone screen after 7:30 at night, I've got these glasses on. Next, I placed a free app on my computer and phone to help lower the intensity of the display and the amount of blue light emitted. The app I use on my Mac computer is called Flux, or F.Lux, and I've put a link in the show notes where you can get that. And the app I use on my Android phone is called Twilight. I have both apps set up to reduce the amount of blue light emitted from the device starting at sunset. Unfortunately, Flux or Twilight is not available for the iPhone or iPad without first jailbreaking the device, which I would not suggest that you do. I learned these tips and more in the book Sleep Smarter by Sean Stevenson, and I've linked this book up in the show notes as well. This book really takes sleep hygiene to the next level, and it's packed full of actionable ways to improve your sleep. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.